Welcome back, everyone. Hello, everyone. Welcome back, everyone, to the School of Mary. This is part two of Mother Gabriel Mary and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live via live stream from Italy. And we interrupted Sister Scholastica, so we're going to go back to her. Hi, Sister.
Hi. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead and jump to the last paragraph. Jesus again is speaking to Louisa, and he says, "Why did Adam sin? Because he removed his gaze from the divine attraction, and as Eve presented to him the fruit to let him eat of it, he looked at the fruit, and his sight took pleasure in looking at it. His hearing took delight in hearing the words of Eve, that if he ate the fruit, he would become like God, and his palate took pleasure in eating it. So taste was the first act of his ruin. On the other hand, had he felt displeasure in looking at it, tedium and bother in hearing the words of Eve, disgust in eating it, Adam would not have sinned. On the contrary, he would have done the first heroic act of his life by resisting and correcting Eve for having done that, and he would have remained with the everlasting crown of faithfulness toward the one to whom he owed so much, and who had all the rights of his subjection. Oh, how careful must one be with the different tastes which arise in the soul. If they are purely divine tastes, one must give them life. But if they are human tastes or of passions, one must give them death. Otherwise, there is the risk of falling into the current of evil." So again, I mean, that's always so going back to what we knew before we all knew about the divine will. It is the state of grace. You know, we're in a state of grace. We're closer to God. We're on the right path. We have a good habits. We have a better tendency of remaining faithful to him. But then if we grow lax, we fall to the wayside. Well, then, yeah, we're not in a really good spot. So again, with Jesus saying about the divine will is that the more we are continuously dying to ourselves and we remain with him, we are nothing, we do everything in and with and through him. We ask him to do everything within us through acts and rounds, like Mother constantly reminds us. We have a better chance of not like being like a reed in the wind. Wherever the wind blows, we're just bending with it. No, we'll be able to hold firm and to be conscientious and to say, like Tom Fahey, does God want me to do this? What is his will?
Yeah. And it's repetition too, Sister. You know, we talked about, when we keep applying what we know, it'll become natural. And then eventually become second nature. And then eventually become our nature. So it's a transition. It could happen very quickly, but sometimes in most cases, it takes a progression. But it'll never happen unless we start now. And we're going to start now, I think, with Sister Gloria. Hi, Sister.
Hi. Today I was reading the volume 21. The meditation I'd like to share today is the first two passages from the volume 21. And here really says how we should do the rounds, the importance of doing the rounds. And it's February 22nd, 1927. And he talks about how the divine will makes its exposition in the whole creation. So Louisa, she heard of the exposition of the Most Holy Sacrament, but she couldn't go to the church. So she was thinking to herself that she cannot go there. And as soon as she was thinking about this, Jesus appeared and he told her, "My daughter, for you, there is no need of exposition. Because one who does my will has the greater and more continuous exposition that my will displays in the whole creation. Even more, since each created thing is animated by it, it forms innumerable expositions for as many things as exist. Who forms the divine life in the Eucharist? My will. If the sacramental host were not animated by my supreme will, the divine life would not exist in it. It would be a simple white host that would not deserve the adoration of the faithful. Now, my daughter, my will makes exposition in the sun. And just as my will has the veils of the host that conceal my life, so does it have the veils of the light that conceal it in the sun. Yet who makes a genuflection, who sends a kiss of adoration, who says a thank you to my will exposed in the sun? No one. What ingratitude. And yet, in spite of this, it does not stop. It is always stable in doing good. Within its veils of light, it follows the steps of man. It invests his actions. Whatever path he may take, its light makes itself found in front of him and behind him, carrying him as though in triumph within its womb of light. In order to do good him, disposed to do good to him and to give him light, even if he did not want it. So how many of us really think that the divine will is everywhere? It's not only the Eucharist, but in every creature, the divine will is present. And without his will, nothing can exist, even us. And we cannot even breathe, walk, eat, even the heartbeats. So the rounds is really like recognizing his will in everything. And Jesus gave a little comparison between the exposition of the Eucharist and what his will itself makes in the creation. He says, in the Eucharist, man must put himself out. He has to go himself, draw near, and dispose himself to receive the good. Otherwise, he received nothing. On the other hand, in the exposition of my will in created things, it is my will that goes to man, that puts itself out, and even if he's not disposed, my will gives in abundance and drowns him with its goods. So his will is everywhere, and it pours out all the graces and blessings in us, but we are not recognizing it. And really doing rounds is recognizing his attributes in each creature. In Luisa's usual round, she used to go to each creature, and then he recognizes the divine will in sun or the sea, light, in darting fish, and then he was calling his will, and he was just giving it back to God, the love that he put in the creature. He says, like doing the rounds is acting like a son who loves the father so much. And the son knows that his father loves being surrounded by his children. So he brings one by one his brothers and sisters to bring to father as a surprise. And truly everything is created by God to make us happy. And when we bring the works of God in thanksgiving, and the purpose of creation is fulfilled, and we are like gathering all the happiness like that are scattered in all creature, and then we are giving it back to God, saying thank you and I love you. And it is truly the divine operating that makes it happen, that multiplies our acts into so much, so many, as many as are the created things. So Jesus, he's saying that to pay attention to all the expositions that his will makes in the whole creation. And like, for example, in the flowery fields, it is the divine will that expresses the fragrances. And the tree that bears the fruits is the divine will that spreads the variety of sweetnesses. So he really wants us to be a perpetual adorer of his will. That's our task, to perpetually adore the expositions of the divine will that makes in the whole creation.
We have a little Nasparin here, Grace Lamb, and she wants to share something with us.
Hi, Grace. Well, we just lost a Grace, and now we just get a new Grace back. We can never have too much Grace. Where are you from, Grace?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, we're about 5.5 hours east of you.
That's not bad for the United States.
Pocono. Yeah, not bad for Pennsylvania. Actually, it's two extremes, but very nice to meet you.
What I wanted to share kind of goes back to what Sisters Dora and Francesca were talking about with the love. This comes from volume 20, September 26th, 1926. Jesus is speaking to Luisa about his will and love. And he said to her, "My daughter, wherever my will is present, everything is sanctity, everything is love, everything is prayer. So since its font is in you, your thoughts, your gazes, your words, your heartbeats, and also your movements, everything is love and prayers. It is not the form of words that forms prayer. No, it is my operating will that dominating all of your being makes of your thoughts, words, gazes, heartbeats, and movements as little fountains that spring from the supreme will. And rising up to heaven in their mute language, some pray, some love, some adore, some bless. In sum, my will makes the soul do whatever is holy, what belongs to the divine being. Therefore, the soul who possesses the supreme will as life is the true heaven that, be it even mute, narrates the glory of God and announces itself as the work of his creative hands. How beautiful it is to see the soul in whom my will reigns. As she thinks, looks, speaks, palpitates, breathes, moves, she forms the stars that adorn her heaven to narrate more the glory of he who created her. My will embraces everything as though in one breath, and lets nothing of all that is good and holy escape the soul." So like Jesus is really pointing out that every love that we can give him comes from his will. Like every prayer is not a prayer because of the words that we utter, because our words are insufficient. Like there's a chasm between us and God, and there's only so much that we can say that even begins to describe his love and glory and the adoration that is due to him. Words are insufficient, and it's not words that form prayer. It's his will that animates it, that truly creates and makes holy and worthy of the glory and worship of our God. It's his will that makes saints. It's his will that animates. And when you allow and you surrender, it will not just animate your prayers. It will also animate your every act, transforming them into prayers, every breath, every heartbeat, every step, every movement, all for him and all for his glory.
Actually, Grace, Louisa speaks about that. She says something to the effect that we don't speak the same language down here in the low world. Again, that language of heaven is not it's not a different vernacular. It's an understanding of what God is presenting to us through our specific vernacular. Hello, sister.
Hello. I picked a writing from volume 17, April 23rd, 1925, as I was thinking about the Holy Spirit. Since heaven knows that nothing glorifies me as much as a soul who lives in my will, they too long for my will to live in the souls upon earth. And he's referring to the blesseds in heaven. Therefore, every act the creature does in my will is a kiss that she gives and receives from the one who created her and from all the blessed. But do you know what this kiss is? It is the transformation of the soul with her creator. It is the possession of God within the soul and of the soul in God. It is the growth of the divine life in the soul. It is the accord of the whole of heaven, and it is the right of supremacy over all created things. The soul purged by my will through the omnipotent breath which we, her God, infuse in her, no longer produces the nausea of the human will, and so God continues to breathe upon her with his omnipotent breath so that she may grow with that will with which he created her. And then skipping forward. Therefore, you must know that in creating man, God infused life in him with his breath. And this life, he infused in him an intelligence, a memory, and a will, to place them in relation to with his divine will. This divine will was to be like a king. It was to dominate all of the interior of the creature and to give life to all in such a way as to form the intelligence, the memory wanted by the supreme will in her. Once this was formed, it was as natural for the eye of the creature to look up, look at all created things and to know their order and the will of God over the whole universe. And then tying that into another book I was reading today, it's by Dr. Fagerberg, Consecrating the World. He writes, it is appropriate to especially associate consecration with the Holy Spirit. And he writes, to consecrate the world is to reestablish it in its proper relationship to God, along with every single thing in it. This is the priestly activity for which Adam and Eve were created, which they forfeited, and which the new Adam has given to the church, his new Eve. And then he goes on to write how the secular vocation or the laity are in a position to do this, as it says in Lumen Gentium. But the laity, by their very vocation, seek the kingdom of God by engaging in temporal affairs and by ordering them according to the plan of God, which is the divine will. They live in the world, that is, in each and in every secular professions and occupations. They live in the ordinary circumstances of family and social life, from which the very web of their existence is woven. They are called there by God, that by exercising their proper function and led by the spirit of the gospel, they may work for the sanctification of the world from within as leaven. So how we're all called to, as we're baptized as priest, prophet, and king, to offer everything up in Christ Jesus back to our Father by doing the acts and rounds and just living in God's will, which is the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Yeah, we're talking about, the mother was talking about the family of Nazareth. I can't remember where it was. I think it was Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 30. But Blessed Mother was talking. She gave an example. She said something to the effect that marriage is the tree trunk in which the branches who are religious and priests are formed by. It's really interesting because I guess there'd be no need without the trunk. But I think it's volume, I think it's Virgin Mary of the Kingdom. I think it's day 30. If it's not, I'll send an email that I was wrong. Mother?
Yeah, I don't know if the San Marino sisters wanted to say anything. I think their mic might be messed up.
But okay. I think, can you hear us?
Yeah. Hi, San Marino. Buona Saturday.
Yeah, I'm always Italian. Also, we are living in another country. We are always Italian.
The audio is not great. But we'll give it a try.
Because we are using the phone.
We'll do the best we can. We just have to listen more carefully, that's all.
Okay. So, my meditation is about volume 12. Volume 12, we are almost at the end of this volume. And I have to confess that recently, I usually don't search for something for sharing in our program. I only do my spiritual reading, and at one point, I think, okay, this is what I have to share in the spiritual program. Because I feel in this period, we all know I don't think danger, but there is a war. There is a big war in the world. And I have to confess that I didn't search for a meet almost in the last 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know why. I only read something very, very, very beautiful words. But only at the beginning, I was looking for something specific news about the world. But now I don't know. I don't do this. And reading the divine being, probably I had an answer to God, because in this passage I 18:23-19:21 and 18:26-19:21. They are the last two chapters of the book, volume 4. And from 1823, Lisa is like usually in her father because she didn't feel Jesus, desire Jesus, and specifically she desired to take the grace in his hands and to bring the grace in the world. But she cannot do this because she's alone. She thinks that she's alone. At one point, Jesus make her able to recognize him from her inside. And he said, she said, Jesus is very moved in my interior and putting out his hands. He took my hands in his and told me in my interior, my daughter, courage, I will come, I will come. You occupy yourself with nothing else but my religion. Let us leave the earth aside. They will be fired leaders everywhere. They will keep throwing arrows and fights and slaughters. But the end will come. My love is triumph over all their people. Therefore, you are standing with me. And which of us will come to expand it like a second heaven over the heads of all? And I will look at the acts of the teacher through your acts, divine because they are stuck from my being. And you will cause my eternal volition to stand below the spirit, to triumph over the evil of the human being. Therefore, if you want my will to stand and my love, you must ascend beyond the spirit. Dwell up there, extend your heart to my being, and then we will descend together. And today is the feast of Pentecost. What is the feast of Pentecost? The descending of the Holy Spirit. We have a music from this beginning. He said to Luisa, he had the word of Jesus, he will descend together. So, if divine will, this is my mind, if divine will is the ear of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to descend in Pentecost. And he said, you will descend with me. So this is a specific calling. We have to descend together with the Holy Spirit. And this is a very big need, more than a war in the world, if we really believe that. And at one point, I realized also that it's not very easy. We need to have a big faith. But in the same moment, at the one point at the beginning of the book of volume, you can read that the theological gift, faith, hope, and charity, they are all connected. So we have to start with faith, but we have to continue with hope. Only faith is not enough. Because if we are only the faith, we cannot believe to think at one point, it's only my fantasy. No, faith is come from God, it's not from our mind. So we have to have our faith, the hope, and we have to do all these only for love, not for our glory. Oh, I can win over Putin. No, I cannot win over Putin. His God is to win. So I have to do all these only for charity, only for the glory of God. Only in this faith, people can do all these things. And continue to read in the, and one point, people say, my daughter, I will feed it to you. Probably, okay, I was reading, okay, I understood the proceedings. No, Jesus came to me. And he said, my daughter, I will feed it to you. Do not look at the herd. Let us allow them to do what they want. They want to make a war, let them win. When they are get tired, I soon will make my war. They are not leaders, they do the champions, they disillusion, they lose responses, we will force them to receive my war to be for one more. So for this reason, it's important to all these things, ups and downs, not the only for law, because that could be the source of love and the goal of the love. Because God wants to be the goal of love. And they will be such surprising things as to astonish ungrateful men. But we don't know who are these ungrateful men. Probably Putin, we don't know. And so he says, therefore, multiply your hearts in my view to all the wisdom, the gifts, the graces, so as to be able to stand into the needs of people and wage on them the war of life. And also, I was thinking what happens because we can also, in one way, we can also think, okay, I can pray for the world, I can ask Jesus to stop the world. In one way, it's a way to ask Jesus, look at the world, help me to stop the world. It's not really correct if you read profoundly because Jesus said, told Lisa to do this act once, and doing this, she made me able God to look at the humanity to help us. So instead of asking Jesus, look at the world, he has to say, Jesus, look at what you need. And we want to do the same thing. So don't look at the world, look at us, we are doing us alone. And he also is not standardized of the evil, because he says also, then with a more artistic form of the habit, my daughter, I will equally lesson with me as to a good father, with bad children not fully offend you, but the world is going to kill me. And if they if they don't do it, it is because they are illegal. Now, since these children want to kill their father, it is no wonder that they will kill one another. The point is not the world between men, because men want to kill God, but it is impossible. So we have to fight in the hearts of God. We have to fight. We are soldiers. In confirmation, we are soldiers. And now we have to find a real battle of God. This is my question.
You know, Sister, I was just thinking, I know it's just the audio is not great, but through the grace of God, we were able to hear at least three out of every four words.
we could not understand. No.
but the good news is, and I want to just bring this up quickly, you know, somebody had mentioned that Pentecost was the birth of the church, and that's true. So if that is the case, then the second Pentecost will be the birth of a renewal of the world and the church. St. Thomas Aquinas states, quote, the second Pentecost is the completion of the desire of our Creator to let us make man to our image and likeness as he destroys the sinful worldly man with the spirit of his mouth in the second Pentecost. So if the first Pentecost was the birth of the church, the second Pentecost is the birth of a renewal of the world and of the church. So, and it's the death, it's a birth and death. It's a death of the sinful world and a birth of the renewal. How beautiful. Thank you, Sister Gracia.
Yeah, I was just reading volume 36 here, 1938. It was June the 5th. And something about along the lines of what we're talking about. He says, how painful it is that our will serves as residence for those who do not recognize us and who offend us. They stay in it by right of creation because of our immensity. If they didn't want to be in our will, there would still be no other place for them, since our will is everywhere in heaven and on earth. Now, in order for the creature to claim that she lives in our will, she must want it and recognize it, because by wanting it, she feels that everything is will of God for her. And by recognizing it, she feels our operating act over her. So, you know, you talked about that in the past, Peter, it's all about desire. You desire to live in his will. You desire to call him in all your activities. Although he's already doing everything within us, but to recognize that, to recognize it and to want it. This is living in my will, feeling our operating power inside and outside of herself. and operating together with it. If she feels we love, she loves together with us. If we want to make ourselves more known, she is all attentive to listen and receive with love the new life of our knowledge. In sum, she feels our operating life, and she wants to do and does whatever we do, following us in everything. So we have to want to do everything with them. It's a wanting, a desire. He is doing everything in and through everyone, but we have to desire it and want it. Most people are oblivious. They don't understand. They don't even know it. They don't recognize his presence within, keeping them alive. This is living in our will, feeling our life that gives life to her, feeling our operating act moving, breathing, working in her being. These are our celestial inhabitants, the glory of our house. We live as children and father. All that is ours is theirs, but they do indeed recognize it. They are not blind thieves who have no eyes to look at our light, no our ears to listen to our paternal attentions, and who do not feel our operating act over them. On the contrary, those who live in our will feel through our operating act, and this is the greatest gift that we can give to the creature. Therefore, be attentive. Recognize that your life comes from us, that we give you all breathing and motion to live together with you. It's just being aware of that, being conscious of his presence within, conscious of you walking. Jesus is walking in my walking. Jesus is speaking in my speaking. To say that throughout the day, even though you do the little prevenient act in the morning, to continue to repeat it during the day, all these little activities that he's doing within you. The smallest thing becomes the greatest thing because it becomes a divine act, an act of God. And he relived, he told Louisa, each life to perfection. All the things that we did wrong, he redid them. All the things we should have done that we didn't do, he did them for us. And they're all waiting for us to take them. All those things that we should have done, I was just reading it today, that we didn't do. They're all out there. If you can just see all these activities floating in the air, and he wants you to grab them and take them as your own. You know, but he relived every life to perfection. That's why they say, you know, if everything Jesus did while on earth could be written in books, the books would not fit on the earth, because he relived every life to perfection, every detail of every life to perfection. And so that's how much he loves us. He died a death for each one of us. He lived a birth for each one. We were all born with him in a sense. We were conceived with him. It says in the writings that's why Our Lady becomes our mother. We were there at the conception. We were there at the birth. Now, we don't remember that, you know, not consciously, but we were in the mind of God from all eternity. So we existed from all eternity with him in his mind, you know, because everything existed with God from the very beginning. And what was beginning? There was no real beginning. There'll be no end. All the eternity is no beginning, no end. Eternal. So it's hard for us to fathom that in this life, you know. Mother Angelica's mother, Sister David, used to say to Mother, well, where did God come from? God had to come from somewhere. And Mother tried to explain to her, he always was. Well, what does that mean, he always was? He had to come from somewhere. She just couldn't understand, you know. So in our world, we understand only beginnings and ends. We live in time, but God is outside of time. Everything always existed. And so we always existed in his mind. And he always loved us, and he loved us. His love is never lost. He loves us no matter what we do. He still loves us. One of the sisters was the other day was saying something about he loved Judas the most because he knew Judas. Maria Voltorta said that. Yeah, he loved Jesus, Judas the most because he needed his mercy the most, maybe, you know. So he's a merciful, loving God, you know, and we have to just trust in his love and mercy. You know that he loves us so much. We would die of joy if we knew how much he loves us. So he hides his love from us, but he wants us to know that he loves us and recognize his love in everything he gives us as gift all day long, all around us, within us. He's everywhere. But he wants us, you know, if we just make a mental effort of thinking that way every day, all the time, we get in the habit, like you said, Peter, you got to start somewhere, and you get in the habit where eventually you live in totally in his divine will. And then you can reach that fourth degree they talk about. I read about it somewhere in here, fourth degree of living in divine will.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, that desire is very encouraging, Mother, you know, because Jesus tells us, I forget what volume he says, as long as we're in the state of grace and we have a desire for this gift, that gains us entrance. So again, we all want to jump in the pool of graces of God. And basically being in the state of grace and having the desire gets us into the pool house. And then again, it's up to then how much we want to work and how much we want of this. Sister?
Okay, I think Grace wants to say something else.
I just want to say I desire it. Mother convinced me I desire it.
we're laughing with you. We're always laughing with, never.
But she doesn't have it yet.
is that a house requisite to have that twang?
I'm the only one who's only certain words.
Yeah. Well, Sister Princess says they sound New York too, so I don't know. Maybe I do. Good. So, I'm sorry, Grace.
I just wanted to briefly point out, Mother was talking about God and beginning and end, and like how he has no beginning and end. And this has been something that's been coming up a lot in prayer for me, is in Revelation, chapter 24. God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God does not have a beginning and the end. God is the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. This is very divine will. God is everything. He's everywhere. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end and the first and the last of all things.
That's a very good point. He is the beginning. He is the end. But there is no beginning, no end. No. But yeah. He is it.
I mean, I think we understand that to a certain extent, but try to teach the world that. And you know, they want concrete evidence. And it's, you know, nothing's concrete with God. He's everything.
We were supposed to sing, you wanted us to sing Come Holy Ghost, but where's our books? You want to?
Where's our books, Peter? What did you
Well, do? You know what? When I find the Mother, I'll let you know. If you saw my desk, you wouldn't ask me where your books are. Trust me.
Where's our books, Peter? What did you do with them?
Yeah. Where are my papers? Where's my wallet? I can't find my wallet. Okay, sure.
Okay.
Come, Holy Ghost, whoever one, heart with the Come, Holy Ghost, our souls possess, with thy full power of holiness, with the power of holiness, in will and deed, in heart and tongue, with all the powers thy praise be sung, and the light of our mortal frame, till us touch the living flame, till others touch the living flame. Almighty Father, hear our cry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, most high, who with the Holy Ghost and King, doth live and reign eternally.
That's beautiful. Our Holy Ghost.
Wow. Well, we spoke today about the language of heaven. That was just a song of heaven that we all experienced. Thank you so much, Mother and sisters. So, Mother, send us out. Send us away with a closing prayer, please.
Lord Jesus, through the intercession of your Holy Mother, Saint Joseph, all the holy angels and saints, we ask that we will all grow in living in your most holy divine will to give you all the honor and glory you deserve. We ask you at the special grace today on this Pentecost Sunday that the Holy Spirit will descend upon each one of us to help us to continue to grow and live in his divine will, to die to ourselves more and more each and every day of our lives, and to come to realize our total nothingness so we can all become little Nazareths. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks be to God for everything. And thank you, Mother and sisters. And sorry we had that technical problem with San Marino. Hopefully we can get that resolved by next week, because it's just so nice to have everyone's input. It's beautiful. So what I'm going to do now is I have everything on gallery view, and there's many, many people from a lot of different countries. So I'm going to allow everyone, if they'd like to unmute themselves just in a moment. Let's see. Yes, if anyone would like to unmute themselves and say goodbye to Mother and the sisters, you may do so now.
God bless you all.
Bye.
Hi, Mother. Thank you. Sisters. God bless y'all.
Thank you.
Thank you, sisters.
Bye, sisters. From
thank you.
Thank you.
Happy Pentecost.
Hi.
Bye from St. Augustine, Florida.
Bye, sisters.
Thanks for the song.
Yeah, maybe we have to have that as a, we'll have to have that perhaps as a component of every cynical now moving forward, Mother. I think you've done yourself in with the talent that you and the sisters have. So I think we'll have a song to close out each one of our cynicals, if that's okay. Okay, love everyone. God bless everyone. Thanks be to God for everything. Have a blessed Pentecost.
God bless.
Again, this is the end of evil and the birth of the renewal of the church and of the world. How blessed are we to be alive at this time. Amen. Like I said, we have a change of plans today for anyone who's listening. Father Annuzzi will be joining us live at 4 p.m. in about 30 minutes. And then we have Father Celso joining us live at 6 p.m. So we're going to close out the Pentecost Sunday with a bang. Okay, love everyone. God bless everyone.
Bye,
thank you, Mother. Thank you, sisters.
Thank you. Thank you.